A Werewolf Shifter Romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. 10 years ago. The air in the old glen. It tasted of damp earth, of forgotten history. Moonlight filtered through the canopy of ancient oaks, dappling the treaty that lay across a flat, moss-covered stone. Alpha Valerius Meadowcrest looked at the young woman opposite him. Her fierce intelligence shone in her dark eyes. Lyra Blackwood. The future of the Shadow Pack, and the brightest mind in the progressive movement. It's a risk, Valerius, she murmured, her voice a low whisper that didn't disturb the sanctity of the place. To propose formal ties with human research factions over LD7? The purists will call it treason. Valerius allowed a tired smile. The purists call a fresh breeze treason if it blows from the wrong direction. They thrive on fear. The only way to fight fear is with a united front, with a better vision. He tapped a clause on the parchment. This ensures our sovereignty. It opens a dialogue, nothing more. It's work that requires a scalpel, not a hammer. His gaze drifted. He was teaching his daughter, Serafina, the scalpel. She had his mind for strategy, his heart for the people. But did she have the steel for the hammer? He prayed she would never need it. He refocused. Your brother, Alpha Jackson, you believe he will see the necessity of this? Lyra's expression softened, a flicker of familial frustration crossing her features. Jax sees the necessity of a strong border and a sharp sword. His pragmatism is a shield. But he trusts me. He will listen. A twig snapped, sharp, unnatural. Valerius's head came up, his posture shifting, from diplomat to alpha. His senses flared, tasting the air. Pine, moss, night-blooming jasmine, and something else. Cold, the clean, cold scent of oiled steel. He met Lyra's gaze. She'd heard it too. Her hand moved, a blur toward the dagger at her belt. You said this place was safe, she whispered. It has been for a century. The ambush was sprung, not with a roar, but with a chilling, disciplined silence. They emerged from the shadows, like wraiths, six of them, all in dark, unmarked leathers, moving with fluid lethality. They were not mindless rogues, no. This was an execution. His wolf surged beneath his skin, demanding release, a final, desperate battle. But he was a leader, not just an animal. His mind calculated the odds. Zero. Lyra was faster. Her dagger flashed, and one of the assassins fell back with a choked gasp. A brave, hopeless act. Two more converged on her, their movements brutally efficient. She fell, without another sound. A roar of pure grief tore from his throat as he launched himself at the remaining three. He was an alpha. He would not die on his knees. The fight was a blur of desperate strength against cold, overwhelming force. A blade slid between his ribs, stealing his breath. He staggered, falling to one knee. The damp earth was so cold against his skin. A figure stepped out of the shadows, moving with an easy, confident stride. He was young, handsome, and his eyes held no heat, only the chilling focus of ambition. Damien! Valerius rasped, the name a curse mixed with blood. Damien looked down, his expression one of detached appraisal, as if observing a necessary task, now completed. He gestured to the treaty on the stone. Your vision dies with you, old man, Damien said, his voice smooth, calm. Wolves do not beg for a place at the human table. We build our own, and we feast on those who are weak. He gave a slight, almost imperceptible nod to his men. Valerius barely felt the final blow. As the world dissolved into a gray, shimmering fog, his last coherent thought was not of his pack, not of his legacy, but of a young girl with his eyes and a mind too brilliant for the brutal world he was leaving her in. Serafina. The air in the council hall was thick enough to taste. Stale, like old stone. And older prejudices. From her seat beside the Alpha's throne, Serafina kept her spine straight, a perfect princess in a perfect prison. Damien, her fiancé, stood before the pack elders, his voice a smooth, captivating poison. He was handsome, all sharp angles and easy charm, but his words, they were ugly. He wanted a new rule, the Purity Act, which meant wolves with mixed blood would lose their rights, just like that. Deep down, she knew the truth. This wasn't about purity. It was about power, crushing anyone whose loyalty wasn't blindly sworn to him. Her father, Alpha Valerius, had taught her that a pack's strength came from its different threads, not from a single brittle cord. She had to speak, no matter how hard she tried. Her father's voice echoed in her memory. Before the words left her lips, she gathered her courage. "Alpha Damien," she began, her voice calm, measured. "My father believed our strength was in our unity. This act, it seeks to divide us. Because a wolf's heart is what matters, not the shade of their fur, right?" Murmurs rippled through the elders. She had them. She had used her father's revered name, a shield and a sword all in one. More importantly, she had framed it as a question of shared values. Damien turned his head, slowly. His smile never reached his eyes. They were cold. So cold. "Your father was a great man, my love. An idealist." The word was meant to sound like a compliment, but it landed like an insult. But ideals don't protect us from the threats outside our borders. Strength does, unity through strength. Still, he had lost momentum. She saw it in the shifting eyes of the elders. So, she pressed her small advantage. "Then perhaps we should table this discussion, to focus on more pressing threats? We can honor my father's ideals and your desire for strength at the same time." Eventually, a reluctant elder agreed. The vote was delayed, a small victory that felt like swallowing glass. That night, as Damien walked her to her chambers, his fingers wrapped around her arm, just a little too tight. His breath was warm against her ear as he whispered, "You were brilliant in there, Sarah. Truly. A perfect Luna." The air thickened. Her breath caught. "But don't ever," he murmured, his voice dropping into something low, dangerous. "Undermine me in front of my council again." And just like that, the mask was gone. The space between them burned with a silent, terrifying threat, leaving her alone in the echoing hallway. Sleep was a distant country, a place she couldn't visit that night. So instead, she found herself in her father's old study. The room still smelled of him, worn leather and dried herbs. It was the only place she felt safe. It was also her command center. Because of that, she powered up a small encrypted device hidden inside a hollowed-out book, a secret he had left her, a network of whispers. Her fingers flew across the keyboard, sending messages to allies her father had cultivated, other packs, other thinkers who saw Damien's purity for the poison it was. Her goal was simple: gather information, build a coalition, find a way to stop him before he dragged them all into a pointless war. Maybe it was fate that her father had prepared her for this. Or maybe it was just a terrible burden. An incoming message blinked. It was from an old friend of her father's, a beta in a neighboring territory. "Heard about the council meeting. Well played. But be careful. Damien's rhetoric is gaining traction," she typed back. "It's worse than his words. It's his actions. Have you heard anything more about LD7? LD7, the human weapon, a so-called cure for their kind that, according to the whispers, was more like a genetic bomb. A way to erase them. To make things worse, it was the boogeyman Damien used to justify his iron-fisted rule." The silence stretched as she waited for a reply. What was really happening out there? Was the threat real or just another one of his lies? The reply came. "The threat is real. Our scouts confirmed it. But that's not the big news." Her pulse raced. "What is it?" "Damien's people are sniffing around the Blackwood border, near the site of the failed summit from 10 years ago. Her blood ran cold. The failed summit at Blackwood Ridge. The official story was that it was a diplomatic meeting gone wrong, a skirmish that had taken her father's life, and the life of the Shadowpack Alpha's sister. It was the tragedy that defined their generation. Why would Damien be interested in that? Now. Before she could ask, another message popped up, a different contact, an informant deep within the territories. It was a single, terrifying line. It's not a rumor anymore. Damien's envoys are actively trying to acquire a sample of LD7. The room felt suddenly small, the walls closing in, and she knew her time for quiet defiance was over. Come morning, she found him. By the training grounds, watching his warriors spar with a look of intense satisfaction. He was an alpha in his element, surrounded by muscle and brute force. She didn't know what scared her more, his quiet menace or his public charisma. With every heartbeat, she steeled herself. She had to know. Damien, she said. Her voice was even. She refused to let it tremble. He turned, a broad, welcoming smile spreading across his face. The smile he used for the public. The one that made PAC members trust him. Love him. It never touched his eyes. Sarah, come. Watch the warriors with me. See the strength that keeps you safe. I need to talk to you about LD7, she said, cutting straight to the point. Diplomacy had failed. Maybe directness would work instead. His smile tightened. Just a fraction. Again with this? My love, it's a rumor. A ghost story told by nervous betas. My sources say your envoys are trying to buy it, she pressed. Her heart pounded against her ribs like a trapped bird. Without warning, his demeanor shifted. The charismatic alpha vanished, replaced by the cold, calculating tyrant. He stepped closer, his shadow falling over her. The scent of him, pine and power, was suffocating. Your sources? He asked, his voice a low, dangerous purr. You have been busy, playing with your father's old toys, his little network of spies and dreamers. Her breath caught. He knew. Of course, he knew. Truth be told, he continued, reaching out to tuck a stray strand of hair behind her ear. His touch felt like ice against her skin. I'm disappointed. I thought you were smarter than that. My plans are far beyond your understanding. What plans? She whispered, her throat dry. He leaned in, his lips brushing her ear. The Grand Council is being called in 2 weeks. All the alphas will be there. His voice was a bare thread of sound, a chilling promise. A new era is about to begin, and you, my dear, will stand by my side, his perfect, obedient Luna. As he walked away, leaving her standing alone in the morning sun, a cold dread settled deep in her bones. He wasn't just a tyrant in his own pack. He was planning an empire. Deep down, she knew the truth. She was not just his fiancé. She was his prisoner. And her cage was about to get much, much smaller. The time for reacting was over. She had to act. And she had to do it now. The time for reacting was over. She had to act. And she had to do it now. That night, she waited. Until the moon was high and the Great Lodge was sleeping. Deep down, she knew the truth. Words would never stop Damien. So, she needed a weapon. Not a blade, but something far sharper. Proof. Her father had always told her, knowledge is the only weapon that cannot be turned against you. He had left her secrets. Not just the network, but physical ones too. Keys, passcodes, a hidden panel. Behind the loose stone in the fireplace of his old study. Her heart pounded, a frantic rhythm against her ribs. With every heartbeat, she expected to hear the tread of guards in the hall. The stone scraped open. Inside, a small dark cavity, and a single ornate key. She knew where the lock was. Damien's private safe, hidden behind a tapestry depicting the pack's first alpha. A cruel, cruel irony. He was so arrogant. hiding his treachery in plain sight. The key slid into the lock, a well-oiled click. The heavy door swung open. Inside, it wasn't gold or jewels he hoarded. It was secrets, binders, files, all meticulously organized. One was labeled simply Blackwood Ridge. Her breath caught, the failed summit. She pulled it out, her fingers trembling so badly she could barely open the clasp. What followed was her world tilting on its axis. It wasn't just a record of the event. It was a plan, a detailed, cold-blooded conspiracy. Troop movements, payments to rogue mercenaries, and a final report, signed by Damien's then second-in-command. It described the successful assassination of two key targets who were attempting to form a progressive coalition, Alpha Valerius Meadowcrest and Lyra Blackwood, Jax's sister. Her father hadn't died in a random skirmish. He was murdered. And the man who ordered it was the same man who would claim her as his Luna before the entire nation. A wave of nausea, of grief so profound, washed over her that she nearly collapsed. Her father, her kind, brilliant father, gone because of him. Without warning, a shrill, piercing alarm blared through the study. A pressure plate inside the safe, a trap, a fool's trap, and she had walked right into it. Footsteps, heavy and fast, thundering down the hall, closer now. The door to the study burst open, and there he was, Damien. His face was not one of shock, but of cold, reptilian satisfaction. He had known. He had been waiting for her to do this. In that moment, the Predator dropped his mask entirely. He didn't even try to lie. Instead, a slow, triumphant smile spread across his face. "Looking for something, my love?" he purred, his voice dripping with condescending victory. "I knew you couldn't resist. Your father's fatal flaw, curiosity."
"You killed him?"
she choked out, the words tasting like ash. The file was still clutched in her hand, a useless shield. "He was a weak old man selling out our people," Damien said, his voice hardening into steel. He took a step closer. "He and that little Blackwood bitch were going to poison our nation with their diplomacy, with their peace talks. I did what a true alpha does. I cut out the rot." Her mind spun. He was proud of it. He saw it as his crowning achievement. This wasn't a wolf. This was a monster wearing her fiancé's skin. Before she could move, he snatched the file from her hand. "Thank you for confirming my suspicions and for providing the perfect excuse." What followed was a blur. He grabbed her arm, his grip like iron bands, and dragged her from the study. The lodge was awake now, lights flaring to life, wolves pouring from their rooms. He pulled her into the center of the great hall, a public stage for her humiliation. "Treason!" he roared, his voice booming with feigned outrage. He held up the file. "Our Luna-to-be, caught stealing pack secrets to sell to our enemies, the same way her father tried to do." The crowd gasped, a wave of shock, then confusion, then anger, directed at her. Because they loved him. He was their strong, charismatic alpha who promised them glory. She was just the quiet, bookish daughter of the past. Who would they believe? It was never a fair fight. "She is a traitor to this pack, a traitor to her kind," Damien shouted, his voice ringing with authority. Then, just as the crowd began to surge forward, a voice cut through the chaos. "Enough!" It was Elder Thane, the oldest guard, a man who had served her father his entire life. His face was a grim mask of fury. Without warning, he shoved two younger guards into the mob, creating a sliver of chaos, a path. His eyes, fierce and desperate, locked onto hers. "He will kill you!" Thane yelled over the roar of the crowd. "Run, Lady Serafina! Run to the border! Go!" And just like that, her body moved on instinct. She ran. Her lungs burned. The forest floor was a treacherous mess of roots and thorns that tore at her clothes, at her skin. Behind her, the howls began, Not the song of the pack, but the baying of hounds, hunting her, her pack, hunting her. The betrayal was a physical pain, sharper than any thorn. She didn't know how long she ran. Time melted into a frantic series of heartbeats, each one a drumbeat of terror. Her only thought, Thane's last command. The border, run to the border. The shadow pack lands. It was a madman's gamble. To run from a tyrant into the arms of a rival nation was suicide. But then, staying was a death sentence. So she kept running, because it was the only choice she had left. She used every bit of knowledge her father had taught her about these woods, the hidden streams to mask her scent, the rocky outcrops that held no tracks. Yet, they were relentless, faster, stronger. The sounds were getting closer. Their heavy paws thundered against the earth, a sound that promised to shake her apart. Just as her legs threatened to give out, as despair began to claw at her throat, the trees thinned ahead. A clearing. Hope surged through her, giving her one last burst of speed. She burst through the tree line, gasping for air, and skidded to a halt. Her world tilted. She wasn't alone. Standing in the center of the moonlit clearing was another group of wolves, five of them. They were huge, larger than any she had seen from her own pack, their fur the color of shadow and granite. And their scent. It was different. Not the familiar scent of her home, but something wilder. Pine, cold mountain air, and power, the scent of the shadow pack. Before she could move, a man stepped forward from behind them. He was tall, impossibly so. His broad shoulders blocked out the moonlight. His face, all harsh planes and sharp angles, carved from stone and shadow. A jagged scar cut through one eyebrow, giving him a look of brutal authority. And his eyes, they were not the warm brown or hazel of her pack. They were a piercing pale silver that seemed to glow in the dark. They saw everything. They saw her. In that moment, the howls of Damien's hunters erupted from the trees right behind her. The space between them burned. She was trapped, caught between the hunters she fled, and the rival Alpha who held her future in his cold silver stare. Her breath caught. The Alpha took a slow, deliberate step forward. And just like that, everything changed. The moment their eyes locked, the world seemed to narrow, to just the space between them. Behind her, the howls of Damien's hunters grew louder, a promise of violence. In front of her stood Alpha Jackson Blackwood, a silent granite wall of a man. His silver eyes weren't just looking at her, they were dissecting her. Peeling back layers of fear and desperation to see what lay beneath. She didn't know what scared her more, the wolves she fled or the wolf she had run to. Without warning, one of Damien's hunters, a captain named Voril, burst from the trees. His face was a mask of triumph. There she is, the traitor! As if pulled by a string, Jax moved. He didn't shift. He didn't need to. He simply took a step, placing his body between her and the hunter. A low sound, less a word, and more the rumble of an avalanche, vibrated through the air. Enough! The power in that single word was absolute. Voril and his men froze, their own predatory instincts screaming at them to submit to a superior alpha. This was not a request. It was a command that resonated in their very bones. She has been named a traitor by Alpha Damien, Voril managed to grit out, though his bravado was gone. She is to be returned for justice. Jax's gaze remained locked on him, cold, unmoving. She is on my land now, which means she is under my protection, he stated, each word a block of ice. Your Alpha's justice ends at that tree line. Go back and tell him that. The silence stretched, thick with the threat of bloodshed. Voril stared, his chest heaving, but he knew. This was a fight he could not win. Because challenging Jax was not just challenging a wolf. It was challenging a mountain. Eventually, with a snarl of frustration, Voril and his hunters retreated, back into the darkness. Just like that. She was safe. and utterly trapped. Jax finally turned to her. Under the weight of his stare, she felt small, exposed. He gestured to his own silent warriors. Take her to the fortress. See that she is given quarters. Without another word, he shifted, melting into the form of a massive black wolf with silver-tipped fur that gleamed like moonlight on water. Then, he was gone, vanishing into the forest. What followed was a tense, silent journey to the heart of the Shadow Pack's territory. The fortress was nothing like the warm lodge of her home. It was carved from the mountain itself, all dark stone, sharp edges, and watchful eyes. The wolves here stared at her with open hostility. Their scents were a mix of suspicion and aggression. In their eyes, she was not a guest. She was the enemy. She was the reason war was now breathing down their necks. She had escaped one cage, only to walk into another. And she had no idea what its keeper truly wanted with her. Come morning. She found that her cage was a comfortable one, but a cage nonetheless. The room was stark, furnished with dark wood and gray furs, but it was clean and warm. A guard stood posted outside her door, at all times. So, she was a prisoner. A very important, very well-treated prisoner. The thought sent a fresh wave of frustration through her. She refused to be a pawn in someone else's game. She had to prove her worth. She spent hours pacing, her thoughts spinning, until she couldn't stand it anymore. She demanded to see him. At first, the guards refused, but she was Seraphina Meadowcrest, daughter of an alpha, trained in diplomacy and debate. She argued, she reasoned, she insisted. Until finally, one of them relented. He granted her an audience in his war room. The space was him, personified. Cold stone walls were covered in maps marked with troop movements and strategic points. The air smelled of old parchment, steel, and him, that wild, clean scent of pine and mountain air. He stood over a massive table, a king surveying his kingdom. You wish to see me, he said. It wasn't a question. I am not your prisoner, Alpha Jax, she began, her voice steady. She would not show fear. I am your ally, the most valuable one you will ever have. He raised a single scarred eyebrow. A flicker of something, amusement, respect, danced in his silver eyes. Is that so? Damien's runaway fiancé claims to be a valuable ally. Forgive me if I require convincing. And so began their chess match. A duel fought with words instead of claws. She laid out everything she knew, Damien's personality flaws, his key supporters, the cracks in his council, the deep-seated fear he used as a weapon. She told him the story of how her father, a man who valued intellect, was seen as weak by a pack that now craved only strength. She painted a picture of a tyrant teetering on a throne of lies. She saw his strategy. He saw her insight. She saw his raw power. He saw her political potential. She saw a cage. And he saw a weapon he didn't know he had. Damien is arrogant, she explained, leaning forward. He believes he's a mastermind, but he's impatient. He overplays his hand. That's his weakness. Because of that, he will make mistakes. We can use that. He listened, his face an unreadable mask of stone. When she was finished, the silence roared between them. After what felt like an eternity, he gave a slow, deliberate nod. Your information is compelling, he admitted. A limited alliance, then. You will provide me with intelligence, and I will provide you with protection. Her heart skipped. It was a start. But then, he leaned across the table, the space between them shrinking until the air thickened and burned. But make no mistake, Seraphina, he murmured, his voice a low growl that vibrated through her bones. If your intelligence is flawed, if you are wrong about any of this, I will not hesitate. I will give you back to Damien myself. The promise hung in the air, a chilling reminder that her life balanced on a knife's edge, and he was the one holding the blade. A few days later, the first real test of their fragile alliance arrived. It came in the form of a decree, carried by official envoys and proclaimed across all the territories. Damien had publicly demanded her return. The air in Jax's council hall was electric with tension. She stood in the corner, a silent observer, forced to watch as they debated her fate like a piece of property. The decree was not just a demand. What's worse, it was a tempting offer. Damien offered the Shadow Pack a generous new treaty, favorable trade routes, undisputed claim to the Eastern Hunting Grounds, and a formal non-aggression pact. All of it, in exchange for one person. For her. The council was in an uproar. An old, scarred she-wolf named Mara, whose face looked like a roadmap of past battles, slammed her fist on the table. "He offers us peace for a single life, her life," she snarled, her furious eyes locking on Serafina. "She is a silver moon viper, and we are harboring her while our own people risk war." Murmurs of agreement echoed through the hall. Serafina's chest ached. She felt the weight of their hatred, their fear. They were right, from their point of view. She was the cause of all this. Why should they risk their lives for the daughter of their rival? She braced herself for the inevitable, for Jax to make the logical, strategic choice, the choice to sacrifice the pawn, to save the kingdom. Instead, something else happened. Jax, who had been listening silently from his throne, rose to his feet. With every step he took, the room fell quieter, until the only sound was the crackling of the fire. He didn't look at his council. He didn't look at the envoys. He walked directly toward her. Her pulse raced, her breath caught. He stopped just in front of her, so close she could feel the heat radiating from his body. With his scent in the air, a confusing mix of safety and danger, he turned his back to her, a living shield. The moment his eyes swept the room, she knew something had shifted. He was no longer just her protector by circumstance. This was different. This was a choice. "My father once told me," Jax began, his voice deceptively calm but ringing with absolute authority, "that a peace bought with a person's soul is no peace at all. It is merely a delayed war." He let the words hang in the air, a clear jab at her own father's failed diplomacy. "Yet," he continued, "Damien does not dictate the terms of our safety, and he does not tell me who is welcome in my territory." He turned his head slightly, his silver gaze flicking to her for a fraction of a second, before returning to the stunned council. "She stays." The tension broke. His word was final. The envoys were dismissed, the council silenced, but simmering with resentment. And Serafina was left staring at the broad, unmovable expanse of his back, her heart hammering against her ribs. His protection was real. She felt it, clear as day. But it had just made her the most valuable and the most hated person in the entire Shadow Pack. And she was no closer to understanding. Why? In the quiet that followed Jax's declaration, the air in the fortress grew colder. His protection was a shield, yes, but it was also a target painted on her back. Every shadow held the glare of a resentful wolf. She felt it in the mess hall, when they turned their backs. She heard it in the whispers that died when she entered a room. So, she knew. She had to do more than just exist under his protection. She had to prove she was worth the war he had invited. That night, she found him in the war room, a lone predator studying a map under the low light of a single lantern. Shadows danced between them. "They hate me," she said, her voice soft but clear. It wasn't an accusation. It was a fact. "They fear what you represent," he corrected, without looking up. "Change, war, the unknown." "Then let me give them something else to focus on," she urged. As if pulled by a string, she moved to the map, her finger tracing a route deep in Damien's territory. "Here, a supply depot. It's a key logistical hub for his northern patrols, but more importantly, the commander. His name is Fendral. My father saved his son's life years ago. Fendral has no love for Damien, but he is a coward." Jax finally looked up, his silver eyes narrowed. What are you proposing? A raid, she said, her own voice surprising her with its newfound steel. A swift, targeted strike. We don't need to defeat Fendral's whole garrison. We just need to apply enough pressure to make him fold. He will surrender the depot, because he is more afraid of dying than he is of Damien. It was a daring plan, a high-risk gamble based on her unique intelligence. As she expected, his council, whom he had summoned to hear the plan, was furious. Mara, the old she-wolf, slammed her hand on the table. You would risk our warriors, our alpha, on the word of this Silver Moon Viper? On her guess about some coward's loyalty? This is madness. The other elders echoed their agreement. They saw only the risk, the danger, the potential for catastrophic failure. Serafina held her ground, meeting each of their glares. It's a better risk than waiting for Damien to bring the war to your doorstep. Under the weight of his stare, Jax was silent for a long time. She could see the battle in his eyes, his alpha's pragmatism warring with the instinct that told him to trust her, the instinct that had made him shield her in the first place. Eventually, he looked at his council, his face set like stone. My warriors are not afraid of risks. Then his gaze found hers, and the air thickened. We do it. Mara let out a snarl of protest, but Jax cut her off with a single, sharp glance. He wasn't finished. But I will lead the raid myself, he said, his voice a low rumble of finality. If your intelligence is wrong, Serafina, the price will be my life, not just my warriors. And just like that, he had not only accepted her plan, he had chained his own fate directly to hers. The war room was a cage of silent tension. Time stood still. Serafina paced before the communications table, her own pulse a frantic echo of the static crackling over the speakers. Jax was out there, in the dark, leading a raid based on her word, on her gamble. Her instinct surged, a desperate need to know, to see, to be there. But she was here, waiting, which was its own kind of torture. With every heartbeat, she imagined the worst, a trap, an ambush. Jax. The comms crackled to life. Shouts, snarls, the clash of steel. And then Jax's voice, a curt, cold command that cut through the chaos. West flank now, box them in. Her chest ached with a fear she couldn't name. It was more than fear for her plan, it was fear for him. The silence that followed was even worse. As the silence stretched, her thoughts spun. What if she was wrong? What if Fendral wasn't a coward but a loyalist? What if this was the mistake that cost the Shadow Pack their alpha? An hour later, a lifetime, the comms crackled again. It was Jax's second in command. Alpha, the depot is ours. Commander Fendral has surrendered. We have a prisoner. The alpha wishes to interrogate him here. Relief washed through her, so potent it made her dizzy. It worked. Her plan had worked. Soon after, they returned. Jax was untouched, moving with the same lethal grace, but there was a new, hard light in his eyes. His warriors dragged a captured officer into the center of the room. Not Fendral, but his second, a big, brutish wolf with a sneer on his face. Jax stood before him. Why is Damien stockpiling medical supplies near the eastern border? He asked, his voice low and dangerous. The prisoner spat on the floor. You think this is about a border dispute? You're a fool, Blackwood. You're all fools. He laughed, a harsh, ugly sound. You talk about the failed summit at Blackwood Ridge like it was some tragedy of errors. Her blood ran cold. The open loop. The question she had pushed aside. The prisoner's eyes full of spiteful glee fixed on Jax. Don't you get it? There was no skirmish. It was a purge. Your idealistic sister and her pet Alpha Valerius were meeting to form their little peace party. He leaned forward, his voice dropping to a vicious whisper. Damien killed them both, on the same night. He sent us to wipe out the rot, before it could spread. The world tilted. Her father, and Lyra. Not just a coincidence. An execution. Her gaze snapped to Jack's. She watched as 10 years of iron control shattered. The stone mask of the Alphas cracked, and beneath it was a decade of buried grief and rage, now roaring to the surface. The political war had just become a blood feud. In the quiet that followed, the prisoner was dragged away, his hateful laughter echoing down the stone corridor. And then, there was only silence. A roaring, terrible silence that filled the vast war room. Jack stood completely still, his back to her. But she could feel it, the storm raging inside him. It was a palpable force, a grief so old and so deep it seemed to suck all the air from the room. His hands were clenched into fists at his sides, his knuckles, white. Her thoughts spun. What could she say? What comfort was there for a truth this monstrous? Her own grief felt fresh and raw, a gaping wound. His was an old scar, ripped open without warning. Before she could move, he did. With a single explosive motion, he slammed his fist into the solid oak of the war table. The wood splintered with a sound like a gunshot. A growl rose in her own throat, not of aggression, but of shared pain. As if the forest watched, her own wolf pressed forward, wanting to offer in something, solace, understanding. She took a hesitant step forward. Her voice, when it came, was a mere whisper. "Jax." He didn't turn. "Leave me," he bit out, the words clipped, raw. But she couldn't. Maybe it was fate that had brought them to this exact moment. She wouldn't offer him empty words or pity. Instead, she offered him the only thing she had, the truth. "He took my father from me on that same night," she said softly. The space between them burned with their shared history. I remember waiting for him to come home. My mother told me he was at a summit, building a better future for us. He always brought me back a wildflower from wherever he went, a different one each time. Her voice trembled, but she pushed on. That night, he never came back. There was no flower, just silence. For 10 years, I believed he died for peace, but he didn't. He was murdered for it. As the echo faded, he finally turned. The sight of his face made her chest ache. The cold, controlled Alpha was gone. In his place was a male whose silver eyes were shattered, raw with a pain he had held inside for a decade. "Lyra," he said, his voice hoarse. She believed in him. Your father. She said he was the only other Alpha who saw the world the way she did. The day she left for that summit, she was so full of hope. He looked down at his own hands as if he didn't recognize them. "And I told her she was a fool. I told her her idealism would get her killed." His voice broke. And it did. The confession hung in the air, a devastating weight. In that moment, he wasn't an Alpha. He was just a brother, drowning in a sea of guilt. Without thinking, her body moved on instinct. She closed the distance between them and placed a gentle hand on his arm. His muscles were coiled as tight as steel cables. But beneath her touch, for the first time, she felt a tremor, a crack in the stone. He didn't pull away. He just stood there, breathing. And for the first time since she had arrived, they weren't Alpha and Fugitive. They were just two orphans of the same brutal storm. In the stillness that followed their shared confession, the air in the war room was different. It was no longer the cold, strategic space of an Alpha and his asset. It was a sanctuary for two wounded souls. The wall between them, built of grief and mistrust, had cracked. And in that crack, something new and fragile was beginning to grow. But Serafina knew. Fragile things didn't survive in a world of wolves. They had to be forged in fire. So, she took a breath. The scent of him, pine and power and a grief that mirrored her own, filling her lungs. "We can't win a war of attrition, Jax," she said, her voice quiet but firm. "Damien's pack is larger. He has more resources. He will grind us down. No matter how hard we try to fight him on his terms, we will lose." He turned from the splintered table, his silver eyes fixed on her. They were still raw, but the storm in them had quieted to a dangerous, focused calm. "What are you suggesting?" Deep down, she knew the truth. It was a mad plan, a suicide mission, but it was the only path she could see. "We don't fight his armies," she said, her voice gaining strength. "We fight him. We go to the Grand Council in front of all the Alphas. I will expose him. I will present the evidence. I will tell them what he did to my father, what he did to your sister." Jax's reaction was instant, visceral. A low growl rose in his throat. "No." The word was absolute. "It's too dangerous. He'll have you killed before you can utter a single word. His influence is too deep." "His influence is built on lies," she countered, stepping closer. The space between them crackled. "It's a house of cards, Jax. I know those Alphas. My father knew them. They follow Damien because he projects strength. And they fear weakness. If we show them the truth, if we give them a better leader to follow, his power will crumble. And if you're wrong," he challenged, his voice rough with a protective fury she had never heard directed at her before. "If they choose him over the word of a fugitive, I will not watch you die, Serafina. I will not be the one who led you to your own execution." She didn't know what scared her more, the thought of her plan failing, or the raw emotion in his voice. This was no longer just strategy for him. She felt it, clear as day. Before either could speak, she reached out, her hand hovering just above the back of his. "This is not a risk. It's a certainty," she whispered. "What is certain is that if we hide here, he will come for us eventually, and he will win. This is our only chance, not just to survive, but to get justice." Her world tilted as he finally, slowly, turned his hand over and tangled his fingers with hers. His touch was warm, solid, an anchor in the storm. Between them, something cracked for good. "The Grand Council, then," he said, his voice a low vow. "We will face him together." And just like that, they had committed to a path from which there was no retreat. The night they met with Alpha Kale of the Crimson River Pack was cold. The wind carried the sharp scent of snow from the northern peaks. Kale was a crucial vote. Old, powerful, deeply traditional. He respected strength above all else. This meeting had to work. As they prepared to enter the neutral territory of Kale's hunting lodge, Jax stopped her in the shadows of the forest. "He will test you," Jax murmured, his voice a low rumble. "He will see you as Damien's broken toy. Do not let him." "I won't," she promised, her heart hammering. Then, with a single glance that seemed to see right through her, he moved closer. The air thickened. Under the weight of his stare, she felt a fire bloom beneath her skin. He gently took her chin in his hand, tilting her face up to his. Before she could process what was happening, he lowered his head and brushed his cheek against hers, his rough stubble a startling contrast to the heat of his skin. Then he moved to the sensitive skin of her neck, inhaling deeply. Her instincts surged. He was scenting her, not as an alpha scents a subordinate, but as a male claims his mate. It was a possessive, primal act, a silent declaration to anyone with the nose to understand. A growl rose in her own throat, one of surprise and something else, something that felt dangerously like pleasure. As if summoned by their charged silence, Alpha Kale's guards appeared. When they entered the lodge, Kale's eyes, ancient and shrewd, flickered from Jax to her, and his nostrils flared. A slow, knowing smile spread across his face. He had read the message Jax had written in the air between them. Because of that, the entire negotiation shifted. He saw not a fugitive, but a female with the backing of a powerful alpha. The meeting was a stunning success. Kale pledged his support. On the journey back, the adrenaline of their victory sang in her veins. They were alone, walking through the moonlit forest. The tension that had been simmering between them for weeks finally broke. "Why did you do that?" she whispered, her voice trembling slightly. "The scenting." He stopped, turning to face her. "To show him you were not alone," he said, his voice rough. "To show him you were protected." "And was that all it was?" she pressed, stepping closer until only a breath separated them. "A political move?" His silver eyes darkened, turning molten in the moonlight. "No," he breathed, and she let it happen. His hand came up to cup her jaw, his thumb stroking her cheek. And then his mouth was on hers. It wasn't gentle. It was a desperate, hungry claiming, a raw release of every unspoken word, every shared trauma, every moment of simmering desire. Fire bloomed beneath her skin, a searing heat that burned away all the fear and doubt. Her hands tangled in his hair, pulling him closer. This was not strategy. This was not politics. This was something wild, something real. Something that had been waiting to break free from the moment their eyes first locked. Just as the kiss deepened, a sharp howl echoed from the direction of their camp. An alarm. A warning. They broke apart, their chests heaving. Moments later, one of Jax's warriors burst through the trees, his face pale with panic. "Alpha, it's a message from the Borderlands! It's Elder Thane. Damien's hunters found him. He's dead," the name hung in the air. A ghost in the cold night. Thane, the old guard who had saved her, the one who had yelled at her to run, the fire that had bloomed beneath her skin, turned to ice. A chilling, numbing cold that seeped into her bones. Her thoughts spun. This wasn't a random act of violence. It was a message meant for her. "No," she whispered, the single word a breath of pure denial. Her chest ached. It couldn't be. Back in the war room, the details came. Thane hadn't been hiding. He had been trying to get his family out of Silver Moon territory. Damien's hunters had caught them. It was a public execution, a warning to anyone who would dare to help Serafina Meadowcrest. "This is my fault," she said, her voice hollow. She wrapped her arms around herself, but it did nothing to stop the shaking. "He's dead because of me. I did this." The weight of it was crushing, a physical force pushing her down. What's worse, she saw the faces of the family he was trying to save. People who had trusted her father, who had believed in her. Had she just led them all to their deaths? She felt a presence behind her and knew it was Jax. She expected him to say something strategic, something about how this changed their plans. Instead, his large hands came to rest on her shoulders, his grip firm, grounding. "No," he said, his voice a low, fierce rumble right beside her ear. "This is not your fault. This is his. This is the monster we are fighting. Do you see that? He uses lives like currency, something to be spent to buy fear. That is not you." "But Thane," she choked out. "Thane made a choice," Jax interrupted, his voice unyielding. He turned her around to face him, his silver eyes burning with a conviction that pushed back against her despair. "He chose to believe in what your father stood for. He chose to believe in you, to honor his choice. We do not surrender. We do not break. We fight." He was right. She knew he was right. Because surrendering now would make Thane's sacrifice meaningless. It was not her fault. It was Damien's evil. It was not her weakness. It was Damien's cruelty. And it was not her failure, but their shared righteous cause. As if the forest watched, something inside her shifted. The guilt didn't vanish, but it transformed. It hardened from a heavy, drowning weight into a sharp, cold weapon. The fear was still there, but now, fury burned hotter. She looked up at Jax, the tears on her face drying in the cold air, her gaze clear and hard as diamonds. The space between them was no longer filled with just grief and desire, but with a singular, terrifying purpose. "He wants to make me afraid," she said, her voice devoid of any tremor. "He wants me to hide. He thinks he can break me by killing the people I care about. Her soul answered the silent question in Jax's eyes. Instead, she vowed, we will go to the Grand Council, and I will burn his empire to the ground. In the echo of her voice, her vow to burn Damien's empire down hung in the air, a promise of fire and retribution. For the first time, she and Jax were a single, unified force, a pack of two, bound by grief and a grim purpose. He looked at her, his silver eyes blazing with a shared fury. The plan was no longer just a strategy. It was a crusade. They would go to the Grand Council. They would expose him. They would have their justice. But then, the world shattered. Again. A young scout, one of Jax's swiftest runners, burst into the war room. His fur was matted with sweat and dirt, his eyes wide with a horror that went beyond any battle fatigue. He could barely speak, his words tumbling out in ragged, panicked gasps.
Alpha,
he choked out, leaning against the doorframe. It's the Whisper Creek pack. They're gone. Jax was instantly alert, his entire body radiating authority. Gone? What do you mean, gone? Did Damien attack them? The Whisper Creek pack was small, neutral, but their Alpha had been quietly considering an alliance with them. They were one of her contacts, one of her responsibilities. Worse, the scout whispered, his voice trembling. Much worse. He used it, Alpha, the human weapon, LD7. The air thickened, became heavy, unbreathable. No, it couldn't be. Her thoughts spun. That weapon was a ghost story, a threat to keep the packs in line. It wasn't supposed to be real. He didn't just kill them, the scout continued, his voice cracking. He unmade them, severed their connection to their wolves. And then, his warriors swept through. They slaughtered them like cattle. A wave of sickness, cold and oily, rose in her throat. She saw it then. The absolute, bottomless depth of Damien's cruelty. He didn't just want to rule. He wanted to erase any part of their world that didn't bow to him. What's worse, the scout wasn't finished. He's not taking credit for it, he said, finally looking at her, his eyes full of a new, dawning horror. The survivors, the few that escaped, they're telling everyone it was us, that Alpha Jax stole the weapon and used it to eliminate a rival. He's framed us. He's painted us as the monsters. And just like that, her righteous fury turned to ash in her mouth. Her grand plan, her vow of vengeance, it had all backfired, spectacularly. She hadn't just failed to predict his move. She had played right into his hands. She wanted to bring him to justice. Instead, she had just handed him the justification to burn the whole world down and name them as the arsonists. The weight of it all. Thane, the Whisper Creek pack, the coming war, crashed down on her, and her knees buckled. The fortress, her sanctuary, had become a pressure cooker. The news of the Whisper Creek massacre and Damien's accusation spread like wildfire. Fear, thick and acrid, choked the stone halls. The whispers were no longer just resentful. They were terrified, and all that terror was pointed at one person, her. The council meeting was a storm. Mara, the old she-wolf, her face a mask of vindicated fury, stood before Jax's throne. But her eyes, burning with hatred, were locked on Serafina. I warned you, Alpha, she roared, her voice echoing off the stone. I told you she was a poison, a silver moon viper you brought into our den. She speaks of justice, and what does she bring? The slaughter of an entire pack and Damien's banners marching under the pretense of our crimes. He was right to cast her out. Each word was a physical blow. Serafina stood frozen, the truth in Mara's bitter words twisting in her gut. Maybe she was right. Maybe she was a catastrophe in the shape of a woman. That is enough, Mara, Jax growled, his voice a low thunder that silenced the room. But the damage was done. The seed had been planted. Later, in the war room, he tried to strategize. He paced before the maps, a caged predator trying to find a way out of an impossible trap. He's boxed us in, Jax was saying. He's isolated us. Kyle has already withdrawn his support. The other neutrals are terrified. We need a new plan. Stop, she whispered, her voice hollow. He stopped pacing, turning to her. Sarah? Just stop, she repeated, a terrible, numb certainty washing over her. She looked at him, at his fierce determination, at the way he was already trying to fight a war she had lost for him. Don't you see? It's over. Every move we make, every plan we craft, he is 10 steps ahead. Thane is dead because of me. An entire pack is gone because of me. Because I was arrogant. Because I was a fool who thought I could fight him. That's not true, isn't it? She cried, the numbness finally cracking to reveal the raw despair beneath. The space between them burned with her pain. This isn't a chess match, Jax. This is a massacre, and I handed him the knife. I pushed you. I pushed this alliance. And all I've done is make him stronger and get innocent people killed. As if pulled by a string of pure misery, she turned away from him. I can't, she choked out, wrapping her arms around herself. I can't be a part of this anymore. I won't have more blood on my hands. The silence stretched, a vast, empty chasm between them. She had pushed him away. The one person who had stood as her shield. Because deep down, she believed the venomous truth in Mara's words. She was the poison, and everything she touched turned to dust. In the stillness that followed, she retreated to her room. The stone walls, a welcome prison. Despair was a cold, heavy blanket, smothering every last ember of hope. She was a failure, a catastrophic failure. She had set out to honor her father's legacy, and instead, she had become the catalyst for the very thing he fought against, a brutal, devastating war that would tear their world apart. The core question that had haunted her, can you defeat a monster without becoming one? Now had a new, more terrible answer. No, you can't. In fact, your attempts only make the real monster stronger. Her thoughts spun in a dizzying spiral of grief and guilt. Thane's face, the reports of Whisper Creek, the hatred in Mara's eyes, the broken look in Jax's when he learned the truth about Lyra, a pain she had only sharpened. It all led back to her. Her body moved on instinct, a puppet of her own misery. She walked to the small table where she kept her few belongings. And there it was, the only thing she had left of her father, his journal. The leather was worn smooth from his hands. She traced the strange looping symbol embossed on the cover. A symbol whose meaning he'd never had the chance to explain. An open loop of a promise now forever broken. With trembling fingers, she opened it. His elegant script filled the pages, not with battle strategies, but with his hopes, his dreams. A future where strength is measured by compassion, not by the number of one's enemies. He had written that, and she had taken his dream and turned it into a nightmare. Her chest ached with a force that stole her breath. She couldn't do it. She couldn't let Jax and the Shadow Pack die for her mistakes. She couldn't let another soul perish because of her foolish pride. There was only one way to stop the bloodshed, one way to atone, one way to finally end it. Truth be told, the decision brought a strange, hollow peace. As the sky darkened outside her window, she took a piece of parchment. Her hand was steady now. The shaking had stopped. She wrote a short, simple note. Jax, this was my choice. Do not follow. Do not seek vengeance. Live. Let your pack live. This is the only way to make it stop. S. She placed the note on top of her father's journal, a final, silent apology to them both. Then, without another thought, without allowing herself to feel the searing pain of what she was about to do, she walked out of the room, leaving the note behind. She was resolved. She would surrender herself to Damien. It was the only moral path left, the only way to pay her debts in blood. As if pulled by a string, her feet carried her through the cold, silent halls of the fortress. Each step was a step toward the end. toward her surrender. Despair was a quiet, hollow thing now, a settled dust in her soul. She would walk out the gates, send a message to Damien, and this would all be over. The bloodshed, the guilt, everything. It was the only way. But then, he was there, Jax. He didn't grab her. He didn't command her to stop. He just stood in her path, a silent mountain of a man blocking her escape. In his hands, he held the note she had left, and her father's journal. His silver eyes were not angry. They were sad and fiercely, terribly clear. "This is not the answer, Serafina," he said, his voice a low rumble. "There are no other answers," she whispered, her voice trembling. "Don't you see? Everything I touch, I destroy. Thane. Whisper Creek. I can't." Her voice broke. "I can't let you be next." He took a step closer. The space between them burned with a raw, shared grief. "You think this is about you?" he asked softly. "Damien was a monster long before you defied him. My sister Lyra. I spent 10 years telling myself her idealism got her killed, that her belief in a better world was a weakness." His gaze was so intense, her world tilted. "I was wrong," he admitted, his voice hoarse. "The weakness was not in her ideals. It was in the wolves who feared her light. It was in me for not defending it. Don't let them extinguish your light, too. Don't prove them right." Before she could speak, he held up her father's journal, his thumb tracing the strange looping symbol on the cover. "This," he said. "I saw this before, on a bracelet Lyra always wore. I never knew what it meant." He opened the journal to the first page, where her father had written a dedication. "To my bondmates, may our truth remain unbreakable." "It's the old symbol for an unbreakable bond," Jax explained, his voice filled with a dawning reverence. "Not a pack mark. A vow between souls sworn to the same cause. Your father's network, it wasn't just spies, Serafina, it was a promise that if one of them fell, the others would pick up the banner." The truth unraveled before her. The words, the symbol, the stories, they all clicked into place. Her father's legacy wasn't a fragile dream of peace. It was a weapon, a network of hidden allies, a call to arms he had left behind for his successor, for her. Her flaw wasn't that she had become a monster. Her flaw was that she had been afraid to fight like one was hunting her. With a shaking hand, she reached out and took the journal from him. Her fingers brushed his, and this time, the spark between them was not of desire, but of pure, unadulterated hope. Her thoughts spun, no longer in a spiral of despair, but in a whirlwind of new possibilities. "You're right," she said, her voice clear and steady for the first time in days. Her soul answered his plea. "He didn't die so I could surrender to his murderer." She looked up at him, the despair washed away, replaced by a cold, hard fire. "Let's go to work." In the quiet that followed her decision, the war room was transformed. The heavy shroud of grief and despair was gone, replaced by a sharp, electric focus. This was no longer a sanctuary for the defeated. It was the command center for a revolution, and Serafina was its queen. As if summoned by their renewed purpose, Jax's inner circle filed in. Mara, his second-in-command Kaelin, and a few other trusted warriors. They looked at her with wary, uncertain eyes. They saw the fugitive, the catalyst for their troubles. But then, she began to speak. Her voice was not the soft, diplomatic tone they had heard before. It was filled with a new, unyielding authority. She strode to the great map, her movements crisp and certain. "Damien believes he has us isolated," she began, her eyes sweeping over them all. "He thinks we are wounded, ready to be picked off. He is arrogant, and that arrogance is the weapon we will use against him. We are going to the Grand Council." Mara started to protest. "Alpha, it's a trap,"
Of course it's a trap. Serafina cut her off, her gaze sharp as flint. But not for us. It's a trap for him. She turned to the map. My father had allies. Not just friends, but bondmates. Sworn to his cause. The symbol on his journal. It was their mark. Alpha Kale of the Crimson River saw it. That's part of why he agreed to help us. But there are others. She began pointing to territories on the map. Alpha Sorin of the Granite Peak Pack. He owes my father a life debt. Matriarch Isla of the Coastal Runners. Her pack believes in adaptation above all else. They despise Damien's puritanical laws. They are my father's hidden allies. They will be our hidden army. The plan she laid out was audacious. It was brilliant. It was not just about exposing Damien. It was about triggering a vote of no confidence on the council floor. It was about using her father's peaceful network to launch a full-blown political coup, backed by the undeniable military might of the Shadow Pack. She had integrated her father's idealism with Jax's pragmatism. She had become the leader she was always meant to be. As she finished, the room was silent. The council members stared at her, no longer with suspicion, but with a dawning awe. She had not just found a path forward, she had illuminated it with fire. Her gaze finally met Jax's. He hadn't said a word the entire time, just watched her, his silver eyes intense. She saw no pride in them, no surprise. Only that same profound recognition from the first moment they met. He had seen this leader in her all along. He gave her a single firm nod. And then, before his entire council, he spoke. His voice, a low, rumbling vow that sealed their future. My pack will follow you. Alpha Serafina. The name hung in the air. A crown she had finally earned. The journey to the Grand Council was a silent, tense affair. They moved as a small elite delegation, a sliver of shadow against the rugged landscape. Jax rode beside her, both in their wolf forms. His massive black wolf was a comforting, solid presence against her own sleeker gray form. The animosity from his pack had vanished, replaced by a focused, respectful obedience. They weren't following him anymore. They were following them. While the forest held its breath, they ran. There were no words between them, but a conversation was happening all the same. In the way he angled his body to shield her from the wind. In the way she matched his pace, stride for stride. It was a silent promise. A bond forged not in words, but in shared purpose. And a grief that had been honed into a weapon. She was not just her father's daughter. He was not just his sister's avenger. They were the architects of a new dawn. Or the harbingers of a final bloody dusk. As they neared the council grounds, a massive, ancient fortress carved into the heart of a mountain, they shifted back to their human forms. The air here was different. It was thick with the scents of a dozen different packs, a heavy tapestry of power, suspicion, and old grudges. Are you afraid? Jax asked, his voice a low murmur meant only for her. She looked up at the fortress, its high walls like jagged teeth against the gray sky. A shiver went down her spine, but it was not just from the cold. Terrified, she admitted, her voice steady. But not of him, not anymore. With his scent in the air, a familiar comfort, she felt a strange calm settle over her. Because whatever happened in there, she would not be facing it alone. He reached out and took her hand. His fingers lacing with hers. His touch was not a brand of possession now, but a simple, profound connection, a promise. Together, they walked towards the great gates. The guards from other packs watched them pass, their faces a mixture of curiosity and contempt. She saw alphas she recognized, men and women her father had called friends who now looked at her as if she were a ghost. The weight of their stares was heavy. But Jax's presence beside her was a shield. His authority was a silent roar that kept the jackals at bay. He was not just an ally. He was her partner. He was her strength. And she realized, was his. As they reached the massive iron-bound doors of the council hall, they paused. The muffled sound of hundreds of powerful wolves could be heard from within. This was it, the lion's den. Her heart skipped. She squeezed his hand once, a final silent message. He squeezed back. Without another word, they pushed the great doors open and stepped inside. The wave of sound and power that hit them was like a physical blow. Hundreds of eyes turned to them. The talking ceased. In the echo of their entrance, a single figure rose from the head of the great stone table. Damien. A welcoming, predatory smile spread across his face. The doors boomed shut behind them, sealing them inside. The game was set. The moment the great doors boomed shut, a hush fell over the council hall. Hundreds of pairs of eyes, predatory, suspicious, ancient, all fixed on them. The air was a thick, suffocating blanket of power and old grudges. At the head of the great stone table, Damien rose. A welcoming, predatory smile plastered on his face. The smile of a spider who had just watched two flies walk willingly into its web. "Seraphina, my dear," he purred, his voice echoing in the sudden silence. "And Alpha Jax, how bold of you to come. I was so worried when my treacherous fiancé ran away. I see, she found a new protector." His words were designed to shame her, to paint her as a broken toy passed between two powerful males, but the girl who had fled his fortress was gone. In her place stood a queen. Before Jax could respond with the growl that was rumbling in his chest, Seraphina stepped forward. Her voice, clear and cold as a mountain spring, cut through the tension. "I am no one's toy, Damien, and I am not the traitor in this hall." From there, she took command. She didn't shout, she didn't plead, she spoke. She wove a story for them, of her father's dream of unity, of his belief in strength through compassion, not fear. She reminded them of the leader he was. Then, with a voice like shattering ice, she told them of his murder. She laid out the evidence, the tampered patrol logs, the payments to mercenaries, the signed report from Damien's own man. "He told you my father was a weak idealist," she declared, her voice ringing with power. Truth be told, Damien feared him. He feared his wisdom. He feared his influence. And he feared the unified nation he was building. She saw the flicker of doubt in the eyes of the other alphas. So, she pressed on. "I call upon my father's bondmates, Alpha Sorin of Granite Peak. Did my father not save your daughter from the red fever?" A massive, gray-haired alpha stood. Slowly. "He did." "Matriarch Isla of the Coastal Runners," Seraphina called out. "Did my father not stand with you when the Southern Pax tried to claim your shores?" A fierce-looking she-wolf with eyes like the sea rose to her feet. "He did." The council hall erupted into chaos. Damien's face, once so confident, had turned into a mask of pure fury. His power was crumbling. As a result, he did what all tyrants do when their lies fail them. He resorted to violence. "Enough," he roared, overturning the great stone table with a crash. "No more talk. This will be settled the old way. By claw and fang, I challenge you, Blackwood, to the death. Let our strength decide who is fit to lead." Jax met her eyes for a split second. She gave a single, almost imperceptible nod. "End this." What followed was a storm of violence. The two alphas met in the center of the floor, a blur of motion and raw, unrestrained power. It was a battle of brutish rage against cold, lethal skill. Jax was a master. His movements, precise and deadly. He fought not just for his sister, but for the future Seraphina had just laid out for them all. He gained the upper hand, and in a final, desperate move, Damien lunged, not at Jax, but at her. But Jax was faster. As if fate demanded it, he moved like lightning, intercepting Damien and ending the fight with a final, brutal, and decisive blow. In the span of a breath, it was over. Silence fell upon the great hall. The tyrant was down, and all eyes turned to her. In the echo of the final blow, the silence in the hall was a living thing. It was heavy, thick with shock and uncertainty. Damien, the great, powerful alpha who had ruled through fear, lay broken and still on the stone floor. And now, what? The future was a blank page, and hundreds of powerful wolves were looking at her, waiting for her to write the first word. This was her moment, her test. She was not the girl who fled a tyrant. She was not the woman who hid behind an ally. She was the alpha who had faced the storm and remained standing. So, she walked to the center of the hall, her steps steady, her head held high. Her gaze swept over the assembled leaders, meeting each of their eyes without fear. "Damien's reign is over," she said, her voice ringing with an authority she didn't know she possessed. "But his legacy of fear and division must end with him. He told us we were weak, that we needed to fear the outside world, that we needed to turn on each other to survive. He was wrong." Her eyes found Alpha Sorin, then Matriarch Isla. "My father believed in a different kind of strength, a strength born of unity, a strength born of trust, a strength born of a bond that cannot be broken." She looked at Jax, a silent acknowledgement passing between them. "The threat of the human weapon, LD7, is real. But we will not face it as scattered, bickering territories. We will face it as a nation, united." She took a deep breath. "I claim my father's seat as Alpha of the Silver Moon Pack, and I propose a new treaty, the Blackwood Meadow Crest Accord. Not an alliance of convenience, but a permanent foundation, a first step toward a unified council for all packs." No matter how hard they tried to look away, the logic of her words was undeniable. She wasn't claiming power for herself. She was proposing a shared future. The members of her own pack, who had stood by and watched Damien's tyranny, now looked at her with a dawning hope. Maybe it was fate that she had returned. Eventually, Alpha Kale of the Crimson River stood. "The girl speaks with her father's wisdom, but her own strength," he declared. "I will sign this accord." One by one, the others followed. A new era was beginning, born from the ashes of the old one. Amidst the hum of political discussion, her eyes found Jax across the room. The public battle was over, but the most important one, the quiet, personal one, was just beginning. She had claimed her pack and forged a nation, but she still didn't know what she was to the man who had made it all possible. That night, the fortress was quiet. The visiting alphas had departed, leaving behind a fragile, tentative peace. Serafina stood on a high balcony, overlooking the vast, moonlit expanse of the Shadow Pack lands. The cool mountain air felt clean, washing away the stench of blood and betrayal from the council hall. The weight of her new title, Alpha Serafina, settled on her shoulders. It was heavier than she could have ever imagined. She heard a single footstep behind her and knew it was him. She didn't have to turn around. With his scent in the air, she felt a sense of rightness, of peace, that no treaty could provide. "It's a heavy crown to wear," Jax said, his voice a low rumble beside her. He came to stand at the railing, not touching her, but his presence was a solid, comforting warmth in the cold night. "My father wore it with grace," she whispered. "I only hope I can carry a fraction of his strength."
"You already have," he said simply.
"He would be proud of you, Serafina. Not just for what you did today, but for who you chose to become." The quiet that followed was different. It was filled with all the things they hadn't said, all the moments that had passed between them, the shared grief, the desperate kiss in the forest, the silent understanding as they ran as wolves. She turned to him, her heart aching with a question she was almost too afraid to ask. "And what about us, Jax? We have an accord, an alliance. Is that all we are?" He finally looked at her, and in his silver eyes, she saw a universe of raw, unguarded emotion. He reached out and took her hand, his calloused fingers wrapping around hers. "Before the world, before the council, we are alphas, we are allies, equals." His gaze was intense, unwavering. "But here,
he whispered, his voice thick with a feeling he had held back for so long, before my soul. And then, he did something that shattered her world all over again. The powerful, dominant Alpha Jackson Blackwood, the king of this mountain, the wolf who bowed to no one, dropped to one knee. Her breath caught. Her heart stopped. He looked up at her, his head bowed in an act of profound, unprecedented devotion. "My mind saw a political pawn," he confessed, his voice raw. "My grief saw an enemy. But my wolf knew its queen from the very first moment. I am yours, Serafina. My sword, my pack, my heart, it is all yours. To command." Tears welled in her eyes, blurring the moonlight. This was not the act of a subordinate. This was the surrender of a soul. She reached down, her hands tangling in his dark hair, and gently urged him to his feet. When he stood before her, she framed his face with her hands. "I don't want a subject, Jax," she whispered, her voice trembling. "I want a partner." And the kiss they shared was not one of desperate hunger or stolen passion. It was a promise, a vow, a quiet, soul-deep affirmation of a love forged in fire, stronger than any treaty, and more enduring than any crown. Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So, why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.